Praise the Lord. It's a good day to talk about Jesus, isn't it? Praise the Lord. I've been blessed already. We could just dismiss right now and be fine. Huh? No, can't we do that yet? Brother Billy is bringing up a video. This video is a song written by the group called Mercy Me. Did anyone here go to the theater and see I Can Only Imagine? Man, didn't that hit you? It did me. And Bart, the main character there, the leader of the group Mercy Me, when I watched that movie, one of the things that hit me so hard was just before the credits are rolling, there is actual footage of Bart addressing the presidential prayer breakfast. I forget who was president at that time, but he's addressing the presidential prayer breakfast. And he said this. He said, when I came to understand the gospel, the real true gospel, he said, it changed my life forever. And what that did was, you know, the whole movie was about, it wasn't about going to heaven, even though I can only imagine. It was about God's ability to forgive unconditionally and given those who have received His unconditional forgiveness to give unconditional forgiveness. And his dad was abusive to him and his mother. His mother got tired of the abuse, so she left. Just abandoned him as well. So he was dealing with a lot of stuff. But he came to the realization of the love of God. And so he is a fantastic voice in the Christian community of the things we've been talking here now for 8 years. And I just love, they just keep pumping out these songs that just get my heart pumping, and man, my joy just starts flowing. And one day I come across this song. Now the name of this song is Dear Younger Me. And you'll see in these words, he said, if I knew then, when he was younger, what I know now, condemnation would have had no effect on me. And so this song is talking about him, he's writing a letter to himself, to his younger person. And so when I heard this song, I thought, that is me right there. If I knew then what I knew now, I'd be a lot further ahead. And so this song video has also the lyrics to help us digest what is said here, but you can find this on YouTube. So Bill, if you'll go ahead, enjoy this song. It's powerful.
Dear younger me, where do I start? If I could tell you everything that I have learned so far, then you could be one step ahead of all the painful memories still running through my head. I wonder how much different things would be, dear younger me. Give some speech about how to get the most out of your life, or do I go deep and try to change the choices that you'll make, cause they're the choices that made me. And even though I love this crazy life, sometimes I wish it was a smoother ride, dear younger me, dear younger me. me. It's not your fault. You never meant to carry this beyond the cross, no. Dear young man, you are holy, you are righteous, you are one of the redeemed, set apart a brand new heart. Oh, you are free indeed. And every mountain, every valley, through each heartache you will see, every moment brings you closer to who you were meant to be.
Man, I'm telling you, that's so powerful. That phrase that he kept saying there, those few lines, stanzas, you are holy, you are righteous, you are one of the redeemed. If you didn't hear the message week before last about what it means, what redemption means, you need to go listen to that. Redeemed means delivered, especially from the punishment of sin. Wow. Oh, I'm going to tell you, younger me, I'm talking to Cecil back when he was a teenager. Hey, younger me, if you'd have known now, then what I know now, condemnation would have not had that power. Hallelujah. That's good stuff. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, so that's me. That's the story of many people. And this is a growing reformation that is taking place not only in the United States, but around the world. I just saw some web pages of some Zambians, Nairobians, who are getting this truth of the original, of the gospel. And there is a major correction in the church going on right now in this to return to the original Christianity. And major voices in the body of Christ, I'm talking about those we hear on radio, those we see on television, those we see online, major voices. When I say major voices, it's like Oral Roberts or Jerry Falwell or Billy Graham. That's what I mean by a major voice. So they're all gone on to be with the Lord now, but there are other major voices in the Christian community, and some of them are catching on to the truth of righteousness by faith. Maybe you've been able to catch on television Pastor Creflo Dollar. Man, he's hitting this hard and with lots of glory and joy and celebration. But he, too, has paid a price. There's Joyce Meyer. She had a quote. I was listening to one of her messages, and this is what she said. This is what she said. I never got free from my sin until I quit feeling guilty for my sin. I never got free from my sin until I quit feeling guilty for my sin. And I thought, whoa, that is a finished work statement. I wonder what's going on in Joyce Meyer's life. And so I've come to hear her say other things and see some of her videos, and it is clearly obvious that she has made this shift in the last few years as well, as the truth of the gospel is being revealed to her. She's a major voice, and she's impacting the world. Now, I have another slide here. It's a Facebook post that I wanted to share with you. I don't know if you'll be able to see that very well, so I'm going to read it to you. She said, I know this camp starts next Monday. She is talking about Grace XP camp that we're having this week. This is our third year. And those of you who don't know our history, we were disfellowshipped from the camp that we were attending, and then we went to two other camps that we had somewhat of a loose connection with. And I just got frustrated because we would be teaching our teenagers that are going to Youth Advance and going to camp about this finished work of the cross, and then go to a camp or Youth Advance. And the worst one was when we had gone to Youth Advance. It happened 2 years in a row where that our kids walked out of the services with condemnation and guilt, and we had to make correction before we even put them to bed that night. And so we thought that we need to try to reach these young people's lives and reinforce what we're teaching them in their home churches, but so that other pastors, other churches, and other ministries are coming together. You know, we can do a lot more in the kingdom when we do something together rather than stand alone. We need to be together. Amen. And so this lady met some of our Grace Camp people, is the best way to say that. She says, "I know this camp starts next Monday." This was on July 9th. You can see it there. "But I still wanted to share this in case there is anyone who lives near Joplin, Missouri, or is willing to travel for their kids to have this experience. This camp is for kids going age into 6th to 12th grade. When I learned about this camp back in April and read what I'm about to share with you, which is what these kids will be taught at camp, I immediately signed my girls up without asking them. Ha ha. But they are excited. Steve," that's her husband, "Steve and I will both be at this camp as well as volunteers." Now, what she writes here is on our registration form, our promotion and registration form, what Grace XP Summer Youth Camp is about. Grace XP Youth Camp is a 4-day non-denominational summer youth camp for grades 6 through 12 that is run by numerous churches in the heartland of America. It is our desire to help each camper attending, one, to accept Christ Jesus or Jesus Christ as their personal Savior if they've not already done so. Number two, experience the life-changing love of the Father and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Now, of the Holy Spirit, that second point, experience, when we named this camp, or Grace XP, XP means experience. So that's just kind of a modern way to do that. So number three, understand that all their sins, past, present, and future, are forgiven through Jesus and His finished work on the cross. Discover their true identity in Christ. 5, learn what it means to live in grace and be led by the Holy Spirit. 6, have great fun, grow closer to others in your youth group and meet new friends. And 7, have their best summer ever. They're going to really know the truth of John 3:16 and 17. "For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through Him the world might be saved." I'm going to tell you, that's a huge thing right there. So what I wanted to do today is to share with you what these campers are going to hear this week, because it's a big deal. Now, the glorious thing here is that 3 years ago, one of the minister friends of ours who lived in Kentucky, Brother Jeremiah Johnson, he, after camp last year, he came and preached, and just a beautiful, beautiful spirit. I love him. And he came the year before. He's been with us for our first 2 years. And several months ago, he said, "Guys, I'm not coming back this year." He said, "I've got 7 churches who want to start a Grace XP camp here in Kentucky." So in Kentucky, Ohio, they started another camp. Amen. Same name, using the same themes that I'm going to share with you. So this is double-sworded here, double-edged sword here, is that I want to thank you all for supporting Grace XP Camp. Brother Bill Loggard had built this table and sold these tickets for donations. Didn't sell, sorry. You all gave donations in order to hope that somebody would draw your name. Anyway, that raised $800. Guys, thank you very much for that. That was so awesome. The fireworks that you have purchased, the donations you have given in so many different ways, and you are preparing some desserts for this week, and thank you all so much for that. But I wanted to show you how worthy this camp is and what they're going to hear this week. On another level, some here this morning need to hear the very simple message that we're going to give our campers. You know what? The love of God is very simple. I think Forrest Gump had it down pretty good.
I may not be the smartest man, but I know what love is.
Our kids know what love is, man. And life is like a what? Box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. Except you know what you're going to get when that box comes from heaven. That box was concealed in the body, the flesh of Jesus Christ. And where some people don't know what was given, more and more people's eyes are being opened to what that box of chocolates is. And I'm going to tell you, the psalmist really was right on when he said, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Oh, man. Boy, when you get that first initial taste of the goodness of God, you're like my granddaughter Avalon, who a few weeks ago, we took a little excursion in our home, and my wife had a Hershey's Kiss. And Avalon never had chocolate before in her two-year-old life. So Nana unwrapped that Hershey's Kiss, and she was sitting on the couch, and she was a little apprehensive for a little bit, and then she put it in her mouth. Her eyes lit up, and she went like this. Mmm. You get that? Taste and see that the Lord is good. And when you taste of His goodness, you're going to go, mmm. Oh, wow. And if you're by yourself, you can even lose your dignity, okay? Have you ever done that? I have. Never been like David to run in the streets naked. But I tell you, when you're not here, I've had some of the most glorious experiences of tasting that the Lord is good in this room. Oh, glory. And I pray that those who come here can experience the kind of glory and joy and freedom. So I've prayed over every pew where you're sitting. I don't know if that'd do any good, but at least in my mind, I can deceive myself and think, and it's going to do something, you know. Lord, make whatever I have received from you contagious, because I want everybody to get infected. It's not an infection. I want everyone to be infused with your goodness and your glory. So here's what I'm just going to share, the highlight of the theme for this week. Here is a slide here that shows Monday's theme, Tuesday's theme, and that of Wednesday and Thursday. So on Monday, we start Monday evening, and we've asked our guest speaker, or one of the speakers who is an associate pastor in Oklahoma. We start out this way. This is the theme that we have followed all 3 years, and the first night is, "Welcome to the family of God." This is a family, or this is an invitation message based on Romans chapter 2 and verse 4, which reads in the New King James, "Or do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance?" Now, he's in context. He's speaking to those who are still trying to be right with God through keeping the law. And the law is heavy, it's laborious, it requires self-effort. Paul called it the ministry of death and condemnation, because that's the only thing it could do is focus on sin and guiltiness of sin and then declare a punishment for that sin. But it was weak. It did not have the ability to get those whom it convinced of sinfulness, didn't have the ability to get it out of sinfulness. And so because of that, Paul says in Romans that God has imprisoned everyone, Jews and Gentiles. He has imprisoned all Jews and Gentiles. And here was the purpose. I didn't finish that sentence. He has imprisoned them all in disobedience. In other words, he showed every person guilty so that he could have mercy on everyone. That's what Paul teaches in this book. And so when he is speaking to those who are of a law-minded, now it is hard. Imagine if you will. Let's not condemn those who were not receiving the gospel back in that day because the law was the only thing that they knew. It would be like somebody coming in here and trying to change our Christianity, moving us from what we believe now into something completely opposite. Works and faith are opposite when it comes to being made right with God. Because no one can be made right with God by our works. That's why faith. Paul said that it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Therefore, if we try to please God by works, we are doing the impossible task. But guess what? God is the God of possibilities. And the possibility of being right with God is through faith. Through faith. We are saved by grace through faith. So that first night is welcome to the family. We're not going to talk to them about the evils of video games. We're not going to talk to them about the evils of dating or the clothes they wear or anything like that. We're going to talk to them concerning the goodness of God because we want these young people to change their minds about God. That is what repentance means. It means to change your thinking. So the Word of God says, don't you know that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? So that first night, we have to be very careful who we ask to speak because we are building a building here of faith so that they, when they're 20, 30, and 40, don't write another song, Dear Younger Me. So, we're going to preach the good news of the gospel to these young people and let the goodness of God lead them to repentance. Amen? Hallelujah. I think that's a good plan. And Tuesday. So, what we do in our schedule, we get up, the alarm goes off, we get our kids out of the bunks. Of course, that first night it is crazy because they're all excited. They've gone to the snack shack, you know, before they went to bed and got full of sugar. We probably ought to put that to a stop. But he sleeps with them. I don't. I did. I did my time. I did my hard time. And so they're all excited, so they don't get much sleep at night. And a lot of them are up and around before we're getting them up and around. And so here's what I always tell them. I said, we are going to wear you down. So by Friday morning, it is fun to try to get them to get awake. You guys, wake up. We are wearing them out. But in the mornings, then, we get them ready. Then we go to the tabernacle or the pavilion where we'll be at. And we have a little wake-up service, some awesome Mercy Me songs, and get their blood going and introduce them to the theme of the day. And then we go to breakfast. We go after breakfast to clean our dorms. Then we have a class. That class has various teachers from different parts of the country. And their lessons are geared toward the theme of the day. So on Tuesday, everyone is going to be teaching on eternally forgiven. Then we have, after the class, we have a morning service, or that might be backwards, I forget which it was. We've talked about both ways. After those two sessions, then we have lunch, we have free time and rec time, and then we have supper, and then we have the night service. And so all of the time that there's any instruction or input into them spiritually, it's following the theme of the day. So Tuesday is eternally forgiven. But I believe it's important because some folks, we have been programmed. I know what. This is what I've been telling younger Cecil about the eternal forgiveness of God. I am eternally forgiven. You are eternally forgiven. Let's look to see what the scriptures say, because that's kind of scary to some people. And people take that fact that we say that we are eternally forgiven, that our sins, past, present, and future, have already been paid for, that they've already been forgiven, we are saying then that we're giving them a license to sin. But let's look at this eternally forgiveness according to Scriptures. And there's many more, but these are the best ones that I like. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12, in the New Living Translation, says, "With His own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, He entered the most holy place once for all time." Everybody say that. Once for all time. He entered the most holy place once for all time and secured our redemption forever. Remember from 2 weeks ago what we mean, what the Bible means when it says redemption or redeemed? Delivered, especially from the punishment of sin. He has delivered. So what is he saying? He has secured our deliverance from the punishment of sin forever. Wow! I'm going to tell you, don't you wish somebody would have pointed that out when you were 17 and 18? Because you would have been a step ahead. Now, just like Bart wrote in this song, "Dear Younger Me," he says that the once for all, in other words, Jesus is not offering himself as a sacrifice on a yearly basis like the Old Testament priests used to with the bull and the goats, bulls and the goats. Once for all time, and he secured. Let's demonstrate that we're not afraid of that word secured. Let's say secured. Secured. Woo! That kind of uncomfortable? Let's say it again. Secure our redemption. You know what? We sing this beautiful song in the church for so long, for so many years, and it is a song that is glorious. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Maybe we should edit that song just a little bit to say, move from "what can wash away my sin," should be said, "what has washed away my sin." Hallelujah. But the truth of the matter is, until we come to the realization of the truth of the power in the blood that was done 2,000 years ago, we're going to be conscious of our sin, which is then condemnation, which keeps the joy of the Lord at bay from us. Hallelujah. I got to tell you again. I almost apologize, but I'm not going to apologize. It happened this week. I come home, I've been working, my grandbaby is at the house. I walk in, she's glad to see me. I love that. My knees turn into jello when she likes it when I come in the room. And so I walked into the kitchen, turn around, and you know who come running across the room with her hands up? Oh my goodness. Hallelujah. Now, the ungodlike thing was that I was filthy dirty, and when she went like this, she said, "Ooh, dirty shirt." Took away my hug. So I hurried and got a shower. But you know what? When there's nothing between us and God, we can come running to Him with great confidence. "Papa, Daddy, I love you." Hallelujah. And then just like a papa will sweep her up off the feet, God will sweep us up off of our feet as well. With confidence, knowing that we do not have to be afraid of some future or some punishment or future punishment for sin. So, eternally forgiven. Hebrews 10, verse 2. If they, this is talking about the sacrifices of the Old Testament under the law, if they could have provided perfect cleansing. Everybody say perfect cleansing. Okay, so you see the contrast that he is building here, that the sacrifices, which was self-works, works-oriented, our performance, he is contrasting the weakness of that to the strength of the once-for-all sacrifice and blood of Jesus Christ. So let's look at this. If they could have provided perfect cleansing, here's the contrast. Those sacrifices did not provide perfect cleansing. The once for all sacrifice of Jesus' body and His blood then provided perfect cleansing. He says, if they could have provided perfect cleansing, the sacrifices would have stopped. For the worshipers would have been purified once for all time. Do you see how that contrasts? The old sacrifices was short, and that it was short because the worshipers were not purified once for all time. You say, what's that got to do with forgiveness? It's because the reason we were not pure in the first place is because of our sin. But because Jesus removed the sin of the whole world. He was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the whole world. And that's how we were purified, is that we were purified from the sin and we were made sons of God, holy, righteous, blameless, and redeemed. Hallelujah. They would have been purified once for all time. Look at this. And their feelings of guilt would have disappeared. And their feelings of guilt, if it had been the perfect cleansing, they would have been freed from guilty feelings of their sin. Contrasting that with the new covenant, with the once for all sacrifice of Jesus Christ, this is the truth. Because of it, we are to be free from the guilt of sin. That's why Joyce Meyer could make this outlandish sounding statement: I could not get free from my sin until I was free from the guilt of my sin. Hallelujah. Now people can say, all right, so when I sin and I feel bad, I do feel that guilt. That's because I need forgiveness for my sin. No. Let's look at 2 Corinthians. Listen to me. When you feel guilty because you have sinned, it is not because you are again in need of forgiveness. No, we got to focus on something else. Jesus said it right there. When we take that cup and that bread, we are to remember Him. That He was the Lamb of God. And this cup represents the blood of His sacrifice. And this bread represents the body of His sacrifice. And what did He do? He purified once and for all time. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:19 for a little more proof. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And He gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. That's what we're doing at camp. We have come to the realization, hey, God is no longer counting people's sins against them, and we've got to tell you this good news. Hallelujah. While you're still young, so that you don't live a life growing up under that curse of condemnation. Let me tell you, we have been redeemed from the curse of the law. And the curse of the law says, if you don't, then God is going to get you. And if you do, which you'll never completely do, then God is going to get you. Well, I'm going to tell you, God got us all right. He got us in Christ. And He purified us forever. Hallelujah. Whew. He secured our redemption till the next time we sin. He secured our redemption forever. You read the Scriptures. So God is no longer counting people's sins against them. 1 John chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. For if our hearts condemn us, okay. So that brings the question, if God is no longer counting people's sins against them, then what is the root of that feeling guilty? So is it God or the devil? Is it ourself? Or what is it? And when that guilt comes, what are we to do with it? The first thing is to remember that God is holding to a very high, high standard what the blood did. And that blood, according to John the Baptist and other passages, that Jesus was the Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world. So then whenever we sin, God is not again going to pronounce our sin and condemn us for judgment for our sin. That's what we have to remember. But then when we realize that God is no longer holding people's sins against them, and then when we do come to our moment of failure and we have that guilty feeling, what is it and what do we do with it? That's what he's going to explain in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 21. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. Now let me read that in the New Living Translation as well. Even if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings. Here's the truth. We don't depend upon our feelings. We depend upon what the Word of God says. The Word of God is to always override our feelings. Hallelujah. That's why Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he says, bring every thought that exalts itself against God, bring that into subjection to the Word of God. And the Word of God says, hey, I'm no longer holding your sins against you. My blood sacrifice was perfect. Therefore, guiltiness has been paid for. And now my justice requires that I treat you like a son and pour out my blessings upon you. Woo! God is a God of justice. He fulfilled the justice for all sin in providing His own body and blood for that payment. And then when that happened, we became sons and we became joint heirs with Christ. God is as likely to judge you for some future sin as He is to judge Jesus. If Jesus gave the ultimate sacrifice of His body and blood, who would the Father be? How unjust an unrighteous God would be to say, I put all of your sin on my son except the one you did today. No. See? So when our hearts condemn us, here's what it is. When we feel guilty for our sin, which is condemnation, when we feel guilty for our sin, it is not God that is doing it. Another Mercy Me song, we are blameless, we are righteous, we are holy. Faultless is the name of their song. It's true. So what is that feel guilty feeling? There is a source for that guilt. And it's expressly stated here. It says, if our heart condemns us, our heart will condemn us. It won't always, but it says because there's the condition of if. He said, guys, brothers, Christians, believers, if our hearts condemn us, who is this John? He's the apostle, and it is this pronoun he uses is our. He says, for if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. You see that? So sometimes our heart will give us guilty feelings, but we are to change our heart. We have to give our heart evidence that I am not held guilty by God for any sin that I commit. I have to convince my heart, give my heart evidence that God is not again pronouncing me guilty for my failure, because we use the Word of God to show that the blood has secured our redemption forever, that He is no longer counting people's sins against them, that from the very beginning, God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world or to give them a guilty feeling. Jesus did not come to give them a guilty feeling, but that through Jesus Christ be made free, that they might be saved. Wow. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. Now that's a huge statement. He says, if our hearts condemn us, make us feel guilty, here's the truth. God is greater than our heart. God is greater than your feelings. God is greater than your heart. So we give evidence to our heart. Then he says, here's what happens. If your heart does not condemn you, then we can come to God with confidence. Hallelujah. You know why people avoid Christians? It's because Christians are supposed to be connected to God. And people avoid Christians and avoid God because they think God has something against them. That's the message of reconciliation that we're going to give to these teenagers. God is not mad at you yesterday. Was he mad at you yesterday? God was not mad, is not mad at you today. And he won't be mad at you tomorrow when you make a mistake. Hallelujah. Now their hearts may condemn. This is what we got to tell them. Know that when you have guilty feelings, that it is your heart. You receive Christ. And you have guilty feelings. That does not come from God. Because it says, John 3:17, that Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Let me read that one more time in the New Living Translation. Even if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings, and He knows everything. Dear friends, if we don't feel guilty, we can come to God with bold confidence. I'm going to tell you, that truth changed my life like crazy. Changed me from trying, you know, going to bed every night wondering if I'd done enough good, if I'd worked hard enough, tried hard enough, committed enough. Oh boy. But then when I came to this realization that God has provided a way by removing all punishment of my sin, redeemed me, the door is always open to Papa's door, Papa's arms. Hallelujah. I want to finish with this. Oh, Wednesday, I just felt like the Holy Spirit would have me spend more time on that. Wednesday, our theme is identity, righteousness, who they are in Christ. Most kids, so many kids, teenagers don't know who they are. They're struggling in their identity. I have a lot more to say on that, but we're out of time. Thursday, there are some, as this grace reformation is taken in the world, there are some grace camps. Now, I'm not talking about youth camp. When I'm talking about camps, I'm talking about the different groups of that are preaching this truth. Some are saying, well, at Pentecost is when Jesus came back. Therefore, there's no need for the gifts of the Holy Spirit or of miracles. Now, I do not see this in Scripture at all, nor do any of the pastors that have put this camp together. So on the last day, we are unashamedly teaching and preaching the baptism with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues and the gifts of the Spirit. Okay? I want you to know that. Are we full gospel? Yes, we are. More than ever before. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to end with this. This slide. This was an awesome thing that was brought to my attention last week. I did not hear this message. But one of our brothers who have stood behind this pulpit and preached many times, Brother Mike Buckley, our friend from Virginia, he texted me. He said, Brother Cecil, I have to tell you, I'm listening to Pastor Robert Morris' sermon. Now, Pastor Robert Morris has a huge mega church in Dallas, Texas. I think they have 4 or 5 campuses now. But after our church had gone through the difficult time that we had, God laid it on our hearts to make this church in its organization biblical to a more closely biblical model. Among those things was we don't call the leaders board members anymore. They're elders. It's got the structure to appoint deacons of the church, and we got rid of the politics in the church. There's no more voting of elders and or board members, whatever, and we've made an agreement. It's in our bylaws that whenever anything concerns the elders on a decision that we make, it is to be unanimous before we move forward on it. If out of those five elders and myself, so there's six, I'm just the lead elder, the pastor, and if for anything that we talk about, and this has happened, that if anything that we need to make a decision on, and one elder says, guys, I just don't see it like you do, but because I trust you, I will submit to yours, and I will say yes. Now, I'm going to tell you, that will secure unity in the body. If one holds to different than all the others, say, guys, I just can't go there. You know what the other five do? We've done this. We said, okay, we won't do it. Because we are seeking for unity in the body of Christ. We got that from Pastor Robert Morris, and I asked him, could we have your bylaws to see? And what impressed me was that Brother Roland DePew approached me at camp one day about 5 years ago, and he said, you know, you might like these bylaws. It's in his book, The Blessed Church. So I went right to that part of that book, and I thought, oh my goodness, this is the first time I've seen bylaws in a church that the way I see it biblically. And we presented that to the body of Christ here in November of 2014, and it was a unanimous vote. We're going to change the name of the church. We're going to be more. We're going to reorganize our structure, da-da-da-da, and terminology and all of this. So that's why this quote, if you would go ahead and put that next slide up there, that's why this quote is so important, because it's from Pastor Robert Morris of that church. He said this. Oh, I get this message from Mike Buckley, and he said, Brother Cecil, he said, I thought of you when I read this. He said, I've never heard anything like this, but I thought it was so good. What do you think of it? And here was the quote. Pastor Robert Morris preached, and he said, people need to understand the finished work of grace in our spirit and the progressive work of grace in our soul. Now, you need a little bit of education and spiritual maturity to know what that means. When he says that we need to understand the finished work of grace in our spirit, that's who we are, our identity in Christ. We are sons. Holy, righteous, forgiven, redeemed, complete, faultless, secure. Our redemption is secured forever. That's our spirit. But that's not all of who we are, because we are trichotomous beings. We are a spirit, perfect in the eyes of God. Then we have a soul. Our soul is not our spirit. They're not one and the same. Our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. And then the third part of this trichotomous being is that this body. So here's the truth. Salvation is involved in three phases, if you will. Our spirit has been renewed. It has been saved. It's perfect in the eyes of God. Our soul is another issue, because it involves Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. The King James says, by renewing our mind. So that is a process. From the day you got saved till the day you get a new body, you're going to be operating in that soulish area in order to be changed, your mind changed like God. Amen? Christ in our thinking. And so salvation is not complete until we see Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 23 come to light. It said Jesus is coming back again, not to deal with sin, but to bring full salvation to those who are awaiting His appearing. What happens when He comes? This body, this mortal body, will put on an immortal body. And then it will be then that our spirit and our soul and our body are completely made like Christ. Does that make sense? So that's what he's talking about here. People need to understand the finished work of grace in our spirit and the progressive work of grace in our soul. You know what happens? We talked about this three Sundays ago. The fruit, singular, of the Spirit is exactly that. It's the Spirit that is producing the fruit. We are merely limbs bearing the fruit. The Holy Spirit does it. I gave an example of different Christians who have received Christ, received the Holy Spirit, and by the nature of God started changing them, changing their language, changing their demeanor, changing their behavior. Why? Because it is natural that we become living a life like God when God is our life and our character. Hallelujah. It's easy transformation. It is the Holy Spirit that doing the work. Listen to me. It's the Holy Spirit doing the work, so therefore I cannot take any credit. All I do is surrender. Surrender to the work of the Holy Spirit. And that, my friend, is the progressive work of the Holy Spirit. Really, the progressive work of the Holy Spirit is the fruit of the Spirit. Faithfulness, gentleness, kindness, all of these things. Long-suffering. Whew. I want to tell you, God is continuing His work of grace in your life. That's what we're telling the campers. Is that okay? Amen. Let's stand. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Guys, let's just end this service with thanksgiving to God. Let's thank Him for the work He has done in our spirit. Let's thank Him for the progressive work of His grace in our soul. And let's look forward to His coming. Hallelujah. God, I thank You for Quito, but that's nothing going to be like this transformation that's going on in my body on Your return. Hallelujah. Phew. I'm going to lose 25, 30 pounds when He comes back again. I believe I'm going to be about 33 years old. I want to have a young, good-looking body. Hallelujah. Phew. Even so, Lord, come quickly. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, God, for what You have done in our spirit. Thank You for the finished work of the cross in our spirit. Thank You, Holy Ghost, for Your progressive work in our soul. Lord Jesus, we're looking forward to Your coming again because we're not walking in fear of the judgment day. We're walking in confidence toward the day of judgment when we stand before You just as Your Son Jesus. Lord, thank You that we are already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. We are already sons of God, and our redemption is secured forever. So, Lord, we offer this praise of thanksgiving, and we offer our life as thanksgiving to You. Hallelujah. Blessed is the name of the Lord. He's so good. He's a good, good daddy, isn't He? Hallelujah. So, since we know such goodness, let's get out there and let's give Him heaven. Hallelujah. God bless you. Praise the Lord.